I had the great opportunity and privilege to be a part of one of my personal favorite fundraisers for First Baptist Christian School, and that was the steak fry. And I know everyone in there, the first thing they were thinking of is we're here to support the school. But I felt like some may have been there because of the steak, and they were not disappointed. It was very good steak. But a question came up. It came up multiple times that night. It is a question that is very unique to our family. It had not come up in a little while. And when it came up, I forgot about it. It had been so long. And one of the young people came up to me and they said, "Is that your personal steak sauce?" And what has happened over the last couple years is Aldi's decided to, as they have rotated their names of brand, their kind of go-to brand name is Berman's right now. I don't know how to feel with the fact that Aldi's has chosen Berman's as a brand name. I do not get any kickback on that. I don't get any input in that. It was not my personal steak sauce. Although I have found that our family has a little bit of a leaning towards Aldi's brands. It's been good to sit at the table and talk about how much we're enjoying our steak sauce and our ketchup and our mustard and all of those things. But brand loyalty is an interesting thing. One of the things that we have been so pleased with as parents is as we have given our kids cheap, inexpensive brands, they have become more accustomed to the cheap brands than they are the good stuff. In fact, it appears that they seem to kind of like the not-so-good stuff than the good stuff. I remember one time we splurged a little bit and got them the Little Debbie Swiss cake rolls, and they're like, "No, these are no good. We want our cheap Aldi's brand Swiss cake rolls. These good ones are too, I don't know, chocolatey or sweet. I don't know what the problem was." But there's a little bit of brand loyalty that was built in there. Brand loyalty is something that is, there's a science to it, there's a study to it, there's a whole psychology to it. There's an aspect where right now, our next generation of young people, there are many people trying to vie for getting them brand loyal. When it comes, whether it's to vehicles or any type of thing, if you can get someone to be brand loyal early on, you're going to be able to carry that brand through for quite a while until something maybe happens that turns that person aside from that. Endorsement is a part of that a little bit. Sometimes brand loyalty these days has a lot to do with endorsement. And we all have things that we have become accustomed to, and we would even kind of stand up for a little bit. I don't know, did you ever go to someone's house where they had chunky peanut butter? How many of you had chunky peanut butter in your house? Wow. How did you keep the bread from just falling apart? I would try to spread that peanut butter and just tear the bread to shreds. And we were a smooth house, very much. We were a smooth peanut butter type of house. But I have found that the times in life where I've been willing to try something else out or someone has suggested someone is there's been some sort of endorsement, whether it's someone I trust, maybe someone I know that knows vehicles or someone that knows certain brands, knows certain electronic things and that. And they provide a bit of an endorsement. An endorsement should imply that something, you believe in something or something works and you're saying this is something that I have faith in or something that I am recommending to someone else. We are believers. We believe. And we have a little bit of an endorsement thing that is going on ourselves, don't we? I want to invite you to go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Tonight we're going to talk about and look at the connection app. James, in the book of James, has been addressing a disconnect in a number of areas of our life, really multiple areas of our lives, that there can be some sort of disconnect and things don't match what we claim should be going on. Because of those disconnects within our life, we are not moving towards perfection. We are not moving towards completion. We are not seeing consistency in our lives. We are not growing. We are not getting the most out of the tests and trials in our life. And so you say, well, what does that have to do with brand loyalty? Well, brand loyalty includes using that brand. An endorsement implies that works for you. I always find it interesting when I see professional athletes endorsing what I would call economy cars. Like, I'm pretty sure you don't drive that. Now, in some cases I know that there was a time in the past where there was a guy that played basketball for Cleveland. We won't mention his name, but he endorsed Kia, and then someone kind of called him out and said, "You don't drive a Kia," but he actually took a snapshot of him driving one of his higher-end model Kias. And at least I was like, hey, at least he is driving the vehicle. In the places that my wife graciously drags me, allows me to shop with her, There are clothing lines by what would be either supermodels or media moguls that have clothing lines in the places where our family shops. Do those supermodels or, I know, clothing moguls, do they buy clothes at Kohl's? Are they going to that store and buying those things? I'm not sure. Are they really using the things that they are endorsing, or are they just taking the money and running? When it comes to brand loyalty, there are certain brands that I found out when I was younger, just especially in the area of electronics, there are things, they just weren't going to last. They were going to be the type of things that I will not name some of the devices that were used in the past, but there were certain electronic ones that I always seemed to have problems with. It was interesting, one that I really always seemed to have a problem with, that brand doesn't exist. It was called Iowa. I liked it because it sounded like Iowa. It was A-I-W-A, but man, it gave problems. I mean, it had a good sound, but it never lasted. And I would never endorse that. There's a value in this type of endorsement. Tonight, we're going to be reminded of what the connection is between our proposed or supposed or maybe public faith and the works that come about as a result of that. Now, we're in a little bit of trouble today. When two passages talk about similar things, this morning it was talking about making sure that we are rich in good works, being really, you know, you got those terms, ready and willing to give and to share. The good works that are produced in our lives, those are the things that we're supposed to be rich in. And tonight we are going to be reminded by James about how important this connection is. So we're in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. We're going to start here just looking at verses 14 to 20, and then we'll follow up into verses 21 to 26. But if you would look with me in James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray tonight as we consider the connection and the importance, the reminder of faith and works, that Lord, we would grow. We would be able to look in the mirror of your word and make a determination in terms of how are those works coming about and how is our faith working itself out. Lord, I pray that tonight, as we think of these things, we will also be reminded that faith and works are things that are brought about by the working of the Spirit in our lives. So Lord, help us to put some things together here. Help us as James continues to cut into our heart and our soul and expose the things that may be inconsistent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing that we see here in this connection process is something I think that kind of jumps out, and that is there's a disconnect. There is a disconnect. We see here faith with no works. James here is going to be using some logic as he lays these things out. His statement is, if this, then this. For those of you that love math, this will probably be right up your alley. If faith, then works. That's the statement there. The opposite, then, he puts in place what maybe we would call the inverse of that logic, which is, if no faith, then no works. So he flips that around, and then he kind of gives, there's a math term called a contrapositive, which is, if not this, then not this. If not works, he flips, if not faith, then not works. And he flips it around. He says, if not works, then not faith. Too often, we can lean towards one or the other of these. Oh, my faith is strong. How is that working itself out? Or on the other side, oh, I'm doing all these things, but how is our faith concerning God? James starts there in verse 14. He kind of gives the reminder. He's been talking about these aspects. He says, what does it profit? What's the advantage? What's the gain if someone says he has faith but does not have works? If someone says, or really they make an affirmation, and that's an important phrase in here, is James is saying if someone makes a claim, makes a faith claim, hey, I have faith. I am a believer. I am one who has faith in God. If a man says or makes this affirmation or this declaration, it's a word used within Scripture about a proclamation, a proclaiming. It is even a word that sometimes connects up with, we make a proclamation concerning Christ. If they says, I possess or hold faith. This is the word that James has been using over and over. What it means, this faith, that means our belief. And it means something that has been received, something that has been accepted. He says, what is it? What's the advantage if someone says he has his faith but does not have or does not possess, again, that he possesses faith, but he's not possess works? Well, what is work? The word that is used there has been used a couple of times before. It was used in chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, let patience have its perfect work. Or in verse 25 of chapter 1, it says there, that they are supposed to be one who looks into the law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. It's almost a verb word of a word we've seen a lot in James, the do. This is a productive word. If there is a product of work, is there production? It's something, maybe the best way to put it is, it's something that comes from something. If a person says, I have faith, but there's not something that comes from that something, faith, there's a disconnect. Something is missing. Say, oh yeah, I've got faith, but there's nothing that has come out of that. That becomes a problem. And here we get into, and I would say this is probably the passage, I know Luther, when you study Luther, he did not like the book of James. He felt it was a bit of a straw man against salvation by faith alone, grace alone, and it created a problem and made it difficult to deal with works-based salvation and even works-based loss of salvation and that here. But James, we're talking about wisdom here, and what he's doing is connecting up what you've heard me say and you've probably heard others say is about how the flip side of faith is always works. There is transformation. There is fruit. Paul has been saying that over and over as we look through Timothy, and the New Testament talks about this all the time, and even the Old Testament makes some references to, you know, you say you believe, but there's nothing that happens as a result of that. And so his question is, can faith save him? Now, are we saved by faith? Yes. Can faith save us? Yes. So what is he asking here? Can faith save him? This word faith, the word for salvation is a word that comes a little bit from earlier on. James used it in chapter 1 at the end of verse 21. He talks about you are supposed to lay aside these things, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. This word save means it is used to say to heal, to make whole, to rescue. It is a verse, it is a terminology that is used for salvation. It is used for salvation from sins. It is also, and it talks about being made whole. People who were healed in the Gospels used this word. They said, I have been made whole. In a sense, what James is using here is the old dangling question. He is saying here, can faith save him? So what does James do? James does what he often does here. Often James makes a statement, asks some sort of question, or makes some sort of proposal, and then immediately jumps into an illustration. So James is going to give an illustration to make us think about this in verses 15 and following. And again, the illustration is not necessarily the focus. This can be a tricky little couple of verses because the focus of these two verses is usually how do we respond when someone comes to us from help? And that is definitely there, but the illustration is actually an illustration of the bigger principle of faith and works. This is in verse 15, if a brother and sister be naked, basically they don't have anything. It is maybe coming off of this morning's message, they don't have the basic needs, food or clothing. They don't have what are the things that are necessary to be taken care of. So we have clothing and we have destitute of daily food, literally food and clothing. We just saw this morning. You have food and you still are all wearing clothing tonight, and I assumed you ate this afternoon, so you're good. You have enough. You don't need any more. James here says, if someone comes to you and they don't even have these things, if they lack these basic needs, and one of you, I love James 5 says, one of you, it isn't everybody, not everybody does these things, but one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Be ye warmed is almost, it literally means that the word there is warm yourself. Go, warm yourself. And what's the other one there concerning the food? And be filled. Warm yourself and feed yourself. Depart in peace. It's going to be okay. You know, it's almost like the, you know, person comes before you, they have nothing, they have total needs, and God has brought that person to this, and you're like, go be warmed and filled. Be satisfied. The word for filled there is literally you be satisfied. Warm yourself with what you have. Be satisfied with what you have. He says there, but, or actually the King James says, notwithstanding, this is again the word that talks about however, it is a flip. However, you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? If you do not provide a gift, if you do not in someone provide there, if you do not provide the things that are needed, that is one word that means the necessities of life, the bare necessities that God wants us to look to. If you don't provide these necessities for the body, again, James is talking about here just the basic level of the body that casts a shadow, that basically is this external aspect. What does it profit? Now that's the, if you notice it, the exact same phrase that verse 14 started with. What does it profit? What is the profit that comes out of this? What is the profit that comes out of saying, I have faith but no works? Is the same thing as saying, well, what is the profit of saying, hey, you're going to be okay, but you didn't actually deal with the problem? And so it's not just about, hey, we should all help the poor. The bigger question is, neither of these things show any profit or are accomplishing anything. What good does it do to not give any necessities to the needy and say just words? Is the same as what good does it do to not have any works but say just words? I have faith. Yeah, but nothing's accomplished. Go in peace. Be satisfied. Yeah, but nothing was accomplished. There's no profit. There's no accomplishment. There's no connection, though. So, verse 17, James kind of reels us back in. Even so, what he's saying here is, in the same way, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith, and it's actually a couple of words there, holding or possessing this faith, if it doesn't have the production, is dead. We understand dead to mean lifeless and powerless. It is alone. It stands by itself. In fact, faith without works is dead is used multiple times here. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So James lays this out, and James, as often happens in Scripture, he then deals with the automatic question that comes up. Paul does this all the time. Scripture does this so many times. You've heard me say it before. If you've got a question that comes up from a passage, the first thing you should do is read the following verses, because often the following verses are going to answer that. Here, James anticipates. He anticipates the objection. Whoa, yay, but someone's like, whoa. You have faith. I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Here he says here, there's someone is going to say this. Someone may step up. And again, kind of a man or a person will say. It's actually a different say from verse 14. Verse 14 was to affirm or to declare. This word for say is actually not so much a declaration or affirmation. It's the word for uttering or mumbling or just kind of almost, it almost has a side of its mouth type of thing. A person will say, well, you have faith, but I have works. You have faith, and I have this product. And here he says show, or the word is to expose or to give proof. Give proof. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you my faith by, and we have to understand that, the faith is shown out of the production. This is what we have to grow in and be reminded of, is that the production that comes out of faith shows that that faith has some profit. If a person endorses something, and that something is no good, and they never use it, and they have no confidence in it, what good is that endorsement? And in the same way, if we say, well, yeah, I've got faith, but nothing has come out of it, there is no profit. There's no production. There is no life. He now kind of draws back into faith, and he gives us a very, I would say, verse 19 is one of those very scary verses in Scripture. There are certain verses that really cut to our lives and make us re-examine ourselves here, because James is saying faith without works is dead. It's not a thing that is having any production. There's no profit to it. There's nothing to be gained by it. There's a problem there. So what does he say? You believe. Now that's the word he's been using for faith. He's continuing to say, you have faith. You believe there is one God. Now, what is James talking about? Let's not forget who James is. James being the half-brother of Christ. James coming out of a very thorough Jewish tradition. You believe in one God. What does he say? You do well. That is productive, is actually the word he's saying there. That's a good thing, to have a fear of God. You do well. It's the same, that this word well, do well, as James has been using that over and over. It's being in a good place. It's loving, if you love thy neighbor as thyself, thou do well. It is a beautiful type of thing. In a sense, James is saying that is a beautiful, wonderful thing. James has covered it when it comes to loving the neighbor. And now he's coming back to loving the Lord thy God. It's almost like he isn't forgetting this. You need to love the Lord. You can't just love God without loving your neighbor. We see how that kind of weaves through what he was talking about that. So what does he say? Congratulations, you believe. So do the demons. The demons believe also. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, it's the exact same word for faith. The demons believe also. So the believe and the believe that we're talking about here, are demons saved? No. Do they believe? Yes. Say, now, Pastor, now you're just messing with me. Yep, that's what James is doing. James is helping us to make sure that we are thinking through this, because this is the scary thing for me as a pastor and for us as believers when it comes to the Word of God and when it comes to salvation, is we run a very big risk of our disconnect being we believe, but we haven't received the gift of faith or the gift of eternal life. And they both sound and look the same. I believe in God. I believe in this. I believe in that. I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe he died on the cross. And how many times when we share the gospel, does someone say, yeah, I believe all that? You walk through the gospel. You share, you know, there's God. There's heaven and hell. There's sin and salvation. Jesus died on the cross. Yes, I believe all of that. So does that mean that person is saved if they believe all of that? Well, now I'm stomping on toes. The demons believe and tremble. It's a word for they literally are horrified. They freeze up. There is maybe what we would call here a mental assent. There is a legitimate fear. Believer, hopefully not unbeliever, you can fear God and go to hell. You can believe that there is a God, and you can believe a lot of truths and still end up in the depths of hell for your eternity. And James here, the reason this is a difficult book of the Bible and the reason it kind of leans into that aspect of, is this saying that we are saved by our works? I think James is making it clear, and he'll keep running us back through that. He's saying, no, the works are the evidence, but they will always come from salvation. And we have to be very careful here. There's a reason we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, is we have to make sure that we're just not agreeing with the truth, as opposed to accepting a truth and asking for forgiveness of our Savior and receiving the gift of eternal life. In other words, to flesh out the faith in the same way that works are fleshing out the faith. You believe and do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Look at what he says here as he kind of wraps up here this first little section about this disconnect. He says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? That's the question when James gets here. He says, do you, really what he is asking there, it's a word for desire. Do you desire to really, the word know there is the word that means to understand, to perceive, to grow in knowledge. There are two words in the New Testament primarily used for understanding or for knowing. There's to perceive and apprehend. That's one, to perceive and apprehend. I see it. I've accumulated into my head. I've kind of gained that knowledge. But there's another word that is used for know that really means to discern and to distinguish. It is deeper than just I know something. It is a discernment concerning that. And that is what James is using here. He says, do you really want to discern, to be able to distinguish at a deeper level? This is a different thing, okay? This is a different, do you desire, do you crave to know intimately, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? The word that he used there, he says, foolish man, King James uses vain. The word there is literally empty-headed, destitute of product. Are you sure you want to really know this, you empty-headed man? You, it's almost like he says, you empty-headed two-footer. Do you really want to know that faith without works is dead? It is lifeless. It is powerless. If there is a disconnect, if there is no production, if there is no power, if it is lifeless, if it has not done any healing or making of any wholeness, then there is a disconnect. Things are disconnected. So what happens here then in these final verses is James allows us to make the connection. He says there's a problem here. There's this disconnect here. So look where he goes. After saying, do you really want to know this, you empty-headed two-footer? That faith without works is dead? All right, let's put this together. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son at the altar? So he takes these Jewish people back to Abraham. He says, wasn't he justified? That word is evidenced. It is proven righteous. And we're talking about here, the Bible always talking about evidential usage, which means that something has happened and it's been evident. Whether you talk about Joseph was a just man, it says there are those that were righteous. Christ was justified in the Spirit. Even in Galatians, he says there's a justifying that takes place by the law. Well, he says, what is the scripture talking about here? Abraham believed God. We can't lose that, right? How is Abraham saved? Romans chapter 4. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We've walked through Romans. You've been through Romans. What salvation is all about. It then says in the next verse, to him that worketh is the reward, not of reckoned grace, but of debt. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due, is even the terminology that is used there. That there is a justification that takes place, but the justification that salvation has taken place takes place by the works. And by works, faith was made perfect. Now James is bringing us back to this completion. In other words, the works are the part of the process. Remember back when James was telling us about the perfection and the completion that happens in our lives, is we want to squeeze the most production God can get out of a trial or temptation, to get the most that God can get out of this. And in the same way, what we see here is that with his works, there's a perfecting. It is a faith that goes out of this. His faith is made perfect. It is brought to completion. It is brought to fulfillment. There is a goal. There is a completion that takes place. And in verse 23, and scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Scripture said this, that Abraham, if you want to wonder, it's the same word belief that James has been using over and over. Abraham believed, faith, placed his faith in God, and it was imputed or counted or reckoned. It's the same word that's used in Romans 4:3. It's the same word that's used in Galatians. It is all of these things. It was counted to him for righteousness. He was called a friend of God. So he says then, verse 24, he gives us, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So we're saved by works. Now, we've already gone through this, what is faith, right? We're not saved by works. We're saved by faith. So what is this justification that is being talked about? You know, there's been times that somebody's told me, I think I walked out with more questions than I started with. That's okay. James has said, are you ready to think through this? I want to make sure I'm clear here, as I say to the public. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by that. Okay, we are not saved by these things. Scripture says these things. So what we have to understand is this production. You see that a man is justified by works. Now, what is the word for justified? That justification, again, is the evidence. It is the proof. It is the righteousness, and not by faith alone or faith only. He gives one more illustration. Likewise, was not Rahab, the harlot, also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So here, Rahab's righteousness is evidenced or justified by works. And this is where we can get confused. Justification is being declared righteous. God declares us righteous. But our salvation is justified by or evidenced by the works. And we have to be careful when we think about those things, because that's why this gets a little bit testy. That's why there are passages of Scripture that you can see it, I can see it. If someone just wanted to go on this, they would say, works is salvation. But there's a problem with that, and that's called the whole of Scripture. The whole of Scripture says completely otherwise. So we have to get back to what is James talking about from the very beginning. And what he's talking about from the very beginning is your faith is not showing itself to be true faith. Because there's nothing being produced as a result of that. There is no evidence of salvation. Salvation is by faith alone. It is through the Word alone. It is by the Spirit alone. It's by through Christ alone. All of that happens. We don't work our way to having salvation, but it always results in works. And the works show themselves to be an evidence of the transformation. It's interesting, James kind of used in two different sides. He's using Abraham, who was a Jew. We would say he's a Jew, godly, practically royalty in the biblical lines. And then he uses Rahab, who's a harlot and a Gentile and an enemy of the people of God, who eventually does become part of the royal line of Jesus Christ. So look where he goes. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Just as a body, a corpse, it's the same word, without the spirit, without what is taking place, has no life, has no power, same thing. In the same manner, faith that does not have works is dead. Maybe a way that we could put it is this. A dead faith is not true faith. A faith that has nothing coming out of it is not true faith. There is an unavoidable connection that must take place between faith and works. And too many people go to either side of this. Well, if I just do this, if I do enough works, then God will be pleased with me. We know that's not what Scripture says. For by grace are you saved through faith. Is that not of yourselves? It is a gift of God. But we also don't get to go saying, well, you know, I believe in God, I believe in all these things. There's no evidence of it. And it's never produced anything in my life, but I'm good with God. That is the other ditch, maybe we would say. The one ditch is, well, I'll do the works and God will be pleased. The other ditch is, well, I believe, and maybe I know the Word and I have this mental assent, but the Word of God has no impact in my life. Let me ask you, do you feel guilt for the sins that you commit? Does the Holy Spirit convict you consistently to think about what do I need to get right in my life, and are the changes being made and taking place? Can you look back and say there are areas of my life that God, by His Word and by His Spirit, have produced fruit? It is evidenced. Can anyone around you point to anything that proves that you are a child of God that it's showing any fruit of the Spirit. If not, you run the risk of verses 19 and 20. You run the risk of, do you really want to know about this stuff? Because there are demons that believe the same thing. The connection is important. So let's back up. Sometimes when we say a statement, we think about things, we say, all right, this is something we need to think about in terms of faith, in terms of justification. But once we say that and recognize this is what James is talking about, it's important to step back to the whole of Scripture. Faith saves. The Word of God is very clear from Genesis 15:6 to Romans 4:3, Galatians 3:6. We recognize here that James 2:23, here himself in this passage, says Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? James in the passage brings up Paul's proof of it is comes by belief. So that is not ignored. We don't take that out. Belief saves. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe in the name of the Son of God. It is counted to us for righteousness. But there's always another side of the coin. One commentator said this, it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies is never alone. It can't be on its own. James says, I want to prove to you that works always comes from faith. We need to make sure that the works match it. So let me ask you, is there a disconnect in your life? Is your belief a belief that stops with what you know? Maybe with the fear of God? But is it leading to good works? The book of James is speaking to believers. I believe this passage can sometimes be overthought and overused to get people to think about these things and think about their salvation. Now, don't get me wrong. If you do not have faith, or if you believe in fear but have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone by trusting in his work and the work of his Son on the cross, the evidence may be in your lack of works. But I believe that all the times that James keeps referring to his brethren, he is speaking to believers. I believe what he is doing here is he is urging us as believers to handle the trials, to handle the evil, to handle the anger, to handle the hearing without doing, the production, and here in this passage, to handle the problem that happens when we disconnect our belief from our works. We are not saved by faith plus works, but we are always saved by a faith that works. It produces. And James has been telling this from the very beginning. He wants us to be complete. He wants us to grow. If your spiritual life feels like it has gaps in it, if you're not squeezing the most you can out of every test and trial, out of every temptation, anger, hearing without doing, belief that works, then I think it's time for us to get on our knees and say, Lord, I need to start doing something for you to get to work. We as a church, I love where our church stands doctrinally, but I think if all we do is stand for something doctrinally and we are not doing the work of the ministry, then there is a disconnect. We need to make sure these things are connected. And by the way, this is also where the assurance and lack of assurance comes from so often, doesn't it? If you're hurting a little bit when it comes to assurance, if you need a little completion and perfection, you need to love in word and deed and do those works. What is your brand loyalty? You believe in Christ? It should show, shouldn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to consider these things. Lord, these are hard passages when we try to think about them in light of salvation. I thank you that James clearly speaks to salvation. But Lord, these are things designed for us who know you as Savior. And Lord, too often in our lives, there's a disconnect. We just go about our life, we go about what we believe, but we are not seeing production. We are not seeing the good. We are not seeing the works that should be coming by our faith. So Lord, I pray you would help us when it comes to these areas. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. It's been a little while, and maybe you're new with us tonight, but one of the things that we've been doing on Sunday nights is just kind of getting into some groups and having a little discussion as a result of this. One of the questions we're going to have is from this morning. I think the question, are you okay, is another good question there. And maybe you've been kind of connecting up with the same people. Maybe it's time to wander. You know, some of you over here, there are people over here that are really nice people as well. And so we want you to take advantage of just dividing up a little bit and getting in some family groups and some groups and invest into one another. Someone the other day told me, they said, I got a chance to sit down and have a conversation with and interact with someone that I had not talked to in years. said it was just so good to connect and pray with one another. So I would encourage you, you don't have to go through all the questions. You don't have to do all those. And if you're a person that says, I don't even want to answer any questions, I'm just going to sit and listen to people pray and talk, that's okay as well. But this is a good time just to have a little bit of fellowship. As I said, the question, are you okay? Is there an area that you're struggling to be content that's kind of off of this morning? These two questions, how could faith be easier to rely on than works? Or how can works be easier to rely on than faith? Or, and this is the thing I think that we can help each other. Do you have any needs or know anyone who has needs, and what are they? I encourage you to share with each other and pray. Let us do some good works here for each other and with each other as we close our time together.